This morning, I'd like to spend a few minutes on two lines from our readings this morning. The first is from the gospel you just heard proclaimed in reference to the Good Shepherd. Jesus says, "I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." The second line is from our first reading from the Acts of the Apostles. "There is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved." Now, I want to bring these two separate lines from separate books of the Scriptures together to help us better understand our own identity as Catholics and how we view non-Catholics in terms of their salvation and its possibility. Might it be possible? Because one of the great misconceptions that I've often heard espoused by certain people, just in the general public, is that they say Catholics believe that only Catholics go to heaven. And I've actually heard Catholics say this. Yes, it is true. Only Catholics go to heaven. And how does that match up against what the Catechism says and what the tradition says? And I guess you probably realize that there is official church teaching, but unfortunately, as people like to pontificate, they themselves decide what is church doctrine, and they can spread false information about what the church teaches. And if they happen to be a practicing and devout Catholic, well-intended yet poorly formed or catechized, problems can happen. Because in your office or in your school or wherever you operate in life, you become the expert. And the teaching is hardly expert. And this is an area where I see this happen. I hear this happen all the time. So what I end up having to do is to talk to the person who is very perturbed by what this Catholic said, and I have to put a corrective on what was said or a qualifier on what was said because the person who was saying it didn't really know what they were talking about, or they did not give them the full picture. So let's go back to about a dozen, maybe 13 years ago. Our current Holy Father was then Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, and he was, for all intents and purposes, Pope John Paul II's right-hand man at the time. And about a dozen years ago, he released a document called Dominus Jesus, simply in English, the Lord Jesus. And the document really created a stir in the media, because Cardinal Ratzinger, writing on behalf of John Paul, quoting St. Peter in today's Acts of the Apostles, "There is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved," was really the crux of the statement that salvation only comes through Jesus Christ. That's it. Nobody else. And of course, you can imagine how offended the mainstream media was. How dare he make such a claim? Of course, to which many of us responded, "Well, what did you expect him to say? That salvation can come through Buddha? From a Hindu cow? From Allah?" Of course, as a churchman, a believer in the Lord Jesus, you would think that someone of his stature, and certainly any Catholic, would have the conviction, quoting St. Peter in the Acts of the Apostles, that of course salvation only comes through Jesus Christ. I mean, if a Muslim told me that salvation was possible outside of Allah, I'd be disappointed in that man. And I'd say, "What kind of Muslim are you? I mean, I want you to be who you are. I want you to convert to Catholicism, but at least for now, I expect you to represent. Fly those colors, right? Wear the jersey. I want to see it." So people were perturbed. How could he say such a thing? And of course, we have to balances against a culture like our own, which is religiously pluralistic. It's a culture where we celebrate religious diversity, not for diversity's sake, but for the fact that we enjoy a certain freedom of religion in this country, recently under attack, as we know, but nevertheless, in principle, a country that enjoys religious freedom. So therefore, persons of all legitimate religious affiliations, according to their conscience, can follow whatever path they have decided God is calling them to, and to follow that unreservedly without impediment from the government. Sounds like a great idea. And the Catholic Church certainly champions that, religious freedom. But that does, of course, not excuse us from proclaiming what we believe to be true, that salvation only comes through Jesus Christ. So let's get down to two specific questions to kind of narrow our focus here, because I'm speaking in some principled form, but let's get to two specific questions that could be asked. Okay, first question. Father, can non-Christians, Jews, Buddhists, Muslims, Mormons, yes, Mormons, can they be saved as non-Christians? And yes, are Mormons non-Christians? Yes, because they don't have valid baptism. Just want to make sure that everyone knows that. Even though they're the Latter-day Saints of Jesus Christ. I get that, okay? But they don't have valid baptism. Not according to mainline Christianity and certainly the Catholic Church. That's an important thing I think people want to know about these days. So, can they be saved? Well, what does the Catechism say? Very simply, it is possible, we hold the hope, that persons who have not received the gift or the light of faith may be saved. How that happens is unknown to us, because we only know that salvation comes through Jesus Christ. Would God, might God, want to save these persons outside of the normal course of belonging to the Catholic Church or through baptism in Christ, even as a Protestant? We hold out that hope because there's two sides to think about. If that's not possible, then that means that God created those persons only for them to be damned. And we know that that is not of God. And second of all, we believe that all persons can live according to the tenets of natural law. That is a general moral compass that all men and women of every culture and every race and every time share by virtue of being a human person. So long, the Church teaches, as these persons live according to their religious ethic and the tenets of the natural law, we hold the possibility that salvation is possible for them. How that happens is unknown to us, because we're not competent to speak about how God saves outside the Church. Fair enough, I think people would say. Fair enough. So then let's narrow it down even further. Let's talk about just Christians. Right? Because many Christians say, oh, I've never become Catholic because they're very exclusive. They think only Catholics are in heaven. To which we say, yes and no. You say, oh, there's a possibility only Catholics are in heaven? Yes, for sure. Well, how do you mean that, Father? I thought you just said that a Muslim or a Jew or, you know, people who are not even Christian, not even baptized, could be saved. What happened to the Protestants? Okay, well, let's think about this. The Church has definitively taught through the ages that the merits of Christ's passion and all of the graces associated with that and the sacraments and their graces associated with those elements pass through the hands of the Catholic Church. I think as Catholics, we would gladly and universally accept that. So, what we say is that when anyone is saved, Christian or non-Christian, Protestant versus all of the other non-Christian religions I mentioned, they are saved through the merits of the Catholic Church. Therefore, everyone in heaven is Catholic. Because that's this church that Jesus founded, and not anyone else, but Jesus founded. It wasn't founded by a mere man 1,500 years after the fact. But this church founded by Jesus Christ is through where the merits of the Passion and the sacraments flow through. So what we say about Protestants is that they have elements of truth in their churches. We call them ecclesial communities, church communities. They have elements of truth. I mean, and a good example of that is that they have some of the seven sacraments. Not all, but some. Could be two, could be three, could be four, some combination. We have all seven sacraments. The fullness of the faith subsists in the Catholic Church. It is the Church of Christ, the church that Christ founded. That's just a simple historical fact. So therefore, all of the merits of Christ flowing from the cross into the world through the sacraments, through the ages, come through the church. And even if one did not belong to the Catholic Church in this life, in heaven, you will be Catholic. How that happens, somewhat of a mystery. A lot of this is somewhat mysterious if you really think about it, but true nevertheless. So to close, let me just address one final point here, because I think this is another very prevalent spiritual malaise. It's called religious indifferentism. I've talked about all kinds of different religions today and the possibility that people would follow religions outside of Catholicism and the possibility of salvation for them. The church worries really in the catechism for persons who know that the Catholic Church is the one true Church of Christ and either reject that outright or choose to remain outside of it. That's who the church worries for the most. Because those persons ostensibly have been given the light of faith, this gift of faith, and they are not acting on it. They either reject it outright or refuse to remain in it. So they're born and raised, but they reject it. Of course, the question always comes, did they ever really accept it? That's somewhat subjective. But let me close with religious indifferentism for a moment. Religious indifferentism is a spiritual malaise which says that all religions are the same. It's all good, it's all God, yay. It doesn't matter what religion you belong to, they're all the same. As Catholics, we cannot accept that. And I can give you one salient example of why that's true. Our diocesan patron saint is St. Thomas More. He died in the year 1535 because he refused to become Anglican. He said, I will never turn on my Catholic faith. It cost him his life. He gave the ultimate witness in shedding his blood. He was beheaded just outside the Tower of London, July 6, 1535. Every time any Catholic especially says that all religions are the same, it doesn't matter, you dishonor Thomas More's memory. It's plain and simple. Because Thomas More died with a conviction that not all religions are the same. Without casting judgment on members of that religion, but holding boldly to the truth that not all religions are the same. If we firmly believe Peter's words in the Acts of the Apostles, that there is no other name under heaven by which men are saved, and this is the church he founded, that we're in, that places certain obligations of faith on each of us. So the next time that you're tempted to make that facile, tired argument that all religions are the same, stop and think for a moment about the martyrs of the church who could have so easily cowed to that particular statement and saved their lives here on earth, but rather shed their blood. And for that reason, we so speak of them with veneration today. This places an immense obligation and tremendous, tremendous responsibility on you and I as members of this church. We pray daily for the faith to persevere in it, to proclaim this truth that it is only under Jesus Christ that men may be saved, and that we will do so with the clarity and the charity that draws many more to the gospel and to the church. O Mary, conceived without sin,